Ohi patishtaham, Krishna declares, I am the basis or the support or the origin of this Brahman, which this the so-called liberated impersonalists desire to reach. There's a nice verse in the Bhagavatam, Yenye Vindaksha Vimuktamaninas, in which those who are desiring to become equal to God, those who are not taking shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead through the process of devotional service, unfortunately they are described Abhishudha Buddhaya. Their intelligence is impure. Because they have not taken shelter of the lotus feet of the personality of Godhead, they are simply imagining themselves vimukta maninas, mana, within the mind, vimukta maninas, they are within the mind imagining themselves to be liberated. But this is not a permanent position to enter into the effulgence of the Lord. This is not a permanent position for the living entity. And we have this understanding in a very simple way from Lord Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, or even a common man can understand. That which is temporary, anything to do with this cosmic manifestation, which is temporary, is said to be unreal, like the act of a magician. Now you see it, now you don't. Here's the rabbit out of the hat, and now you can't see the rabbit anymore. And then here's the rabbit again, and now you can't see it anymore. Here's the cosmic manifestation over a longer period of time. Here is this body, and now it is gone. Here are the activities performed within this world, and then they are gone. They're only memories within the mind. Where is that activity? Where is that baby body that we all once had? It's gone. Where is that house or that car or that bank balance that we once had, that experience, that friendship, that event in the material world? Gone. Slowly turning and transforming. Time is the destroyer of all things. But not of the spiritual world, not those things that are sanatana. Manakshastrani indriyani. Although the living entity is sanatana and fragmented from the Lord also eternally, those living entities that insist on not accepting that position as eternal, fragmental part of God, then they are put in this other condition of life. Manakshastrani, indriyani, prakriti stani, karshati. Prakriti means material nature. Prakriti stani. They are situated within the material nature and struggling very hard. Karshati. Prakriti stani, karshati. And what is their activity of this struggling very hard? Manakshastrani indriyani. Indriya means senses. Aside from their normal sense perception, they also have this entity that sometimes functions like it's a separate individual, the mind, having its own course of action. Even we as the soul, desires to control the mind, or desires to act in a particular way. The mind is very, very strong and obstinate and will act almost of its own accord. That is because the mind is one of the material energies of Krishna. Bhumirapo mano vayo kam mano buddhirevacha. Mano kam mano buddhirevacha. The mind is one of the energies of God. And as all of the energies of God, the mind is also under the direction of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Daivhi yesha guna mayi mama maya dhuratyaya The material energy, the ingredients of the material energy are all coming from Krishna and they're under his direction. And those that try to overcome, once conditioned, again this in this verse the term conditioned is repeated twice. Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta. In this conditioned world, the living entities are struggling very hard. And what are they conditioned by? This material energy. And what is keeping them in that conditioned state? Struggling very hard with their senses. In the bodily conception of life, one is trying desperately to find relief from that struggle. But unfortunately, and very foolishly, that struggle is simply perpetuating more of the same. Still functioning on the material platform, trying to find happiness for the soul on the platform of that which is not the soul. It's an impossible situation. An impossible situation. The categories of material activities are described within the Vedic literature. Dharma, Artha, Kama, and Moksha. Now, we're speaking, when the Vedic literature is describing the human form of life, it means beginning from civilization. And the demarcation of civilization, according to the Vedic literature, is when one takes up an orderly process, a systematic process meant for spiritualization of one's life, or returning to God. That is dharma. From the human life begins from the point where dharma is taken up. Dharma meaning religiosity, varnashram dharma. Prior to this varnashram dharma system, life is not yet civilized. Life is not yet ordered for spiritual progress. But when one takes up this activity of religiosity, there is another material calculation going on in the contaminated state or moving from this conditioned life. And what is that motivation? Artha, which means economic development. Prabhupada often speaks on this point in relation to praying to God for bread. When approaching God, my dear God, please give me my bread, give me my food, give me my sustenance. That is not the purpose of dharma. Actually, dharma is meant to bring one to the point of satisfying the personality of Godhead. Some sit here, Hari Toshinam, to bring pleasure to Lord Vishnu, Lord Hari. That is the purpose of religion, to please God, to develop love for God. However, this other contamination is also there. Artha, I want economic development. Why do I want this economic development? So that I can please my senses. Kama. Dharma, artha, kama. And what happens when one reaches that after that sequence of taking up religiosity so that I can get my economic development, so that I can get my sense gratification, what happens is the activities of dharma are dropped. Very practically speaking, Prabhupada has pointed this out in public lectures, that many of the places that we have as our temples are former places of worship, churches or, in this case, synagogue. And why have those former places of worship become abandoned? Because there is no longer any need to perform the dharmic activities, because now we have our sense gratification. Our economic advancement is accomplished, and therein lies the means for our sense gratification, so who needs God anymore? The business deal is over, thank you very much. It's been nice doing business with you, so long. Just as this nation was founded for religious freedom. In God we trust, the currency reads. But where is it? In every courtroom it also reads the same. But where is that trust in God? It's being forbidden in the classrooms. It's being forbidden in the political arena. It's being forbidden. It's not part of the economic game of trade and commerce. Although it certainly is there within the Varnashram system at every step. For the Brahmanas, for the Kshatriyas, for the Vaishyas. The center is giving pleasure to the personality of Godhead. So when all of that is lost, with ultimate end of frustration, moksha. This plateau of sense gratification which I have now achieved is not giving me satisfaction. Therefore, let me just end it all with merging into the existence of God. Liberation. So there are these different types of liberation that are described. Those that are trying to kick away material existence without taking shelter of the personality of Godhead, they simply want their liberation. But this liberation is being described. Patankido nadira yushmarangaya. After achieving that position, that within their mind they're thinking they're liberated, again, patankido nadira yushmarangaya. Again, they fall back down into material activity. Why? They never were liberated. The simple analogy is given that if you send some, you throw a ball up in the air, it will again come back down. Or you can try to go beyond the reach of the atmosphere and send a hunk of metal flying in outer space by propelling it with some explosive material. There it goes. The spaceship has just escaped the atmosphere of the Earth. But again, it'll have to come down when the fuel is exhausted and the inhabitants no longer have supplies to live, or the equipment is no longer working. It will take the gravitational pull, unless it lands somewhere and stays there. But where is that place where the individual, as spirit soul, can go and stay? What is the natural environment for the living entity to take shelter? The lotus feet of Krishna. This information we receive from the process of hearing. Satam prasangam mama virya sangado. By associating with saintly persons who are themselves in contact by this very same process of hearing from other realized sources, their lives have become fortunate. And by getting the opportunity to associate with such Satam prasangam mama virya sangado. Hitkarana, Rasayana. The messages that are coming from saintly persons enter through the ear, go directly into the heart, and give one great pleasure. Param Vishvan Vartante. How is it possible for our absorption and addiction to material existence? Even you try and struggle and struggle, as this verse describes. Nakshastrani indriyani prakriti stani karsati. Struggle so hard, struggle as you may, you can't get free from this material existence. Cannot. Can someone control these children that are running around? It is not possible by any individual effort on our own to become free from that very difficult struggle of material existence. But for the very simple and very pleasing method of hearing transcendental messages from the spiritually realized souls, evam parampara praptam imam rajar shayo vidu. Previous realized personalities, they have achieved this perfection in the same way. The path leading back home to this all shelter giving personality of Godhead is already accomplished. Mahajano Yena Kata Sapanta. All we need to do is follow the path that is already traversed by the realized souls. I'd like to read something a little bit further from the purport. Prabhupada makes a very, very nice point about how once reaching that liberated condition, then what happens? Very nice, interesting description is here. It is clear, however, in this verse that the conditioned soul is covered by the material body, with the mind and the senses. And when he is liberated, this material covering perishes, but his spiritual body manifests itself in its individual capacity. Because the verse has already described that this individuality is something that is eternal. Our fragmental condition, or tiny, separated condition, that exists now in the embodied state, and it exists after the embodied state. This is a big difference between what the personalists and the impersonalists conclude. Then Prabhupada gives a reference from Shruti mantras. And the translation is, it is stated here that when a living entity gives up this material embodiment and enters into the spiritual world, he revives his spiritual body. And in his spiritual body, he can see the personality of Godhead face to face. He can hear and speak to him face to face. And he can understand the Supreme Personality as he is. Also from the Smriti, it is understood. Vasanti yatra purusha sarve vaikuntha murtaya. In the spiritual planets, everyone lives in bodies featured like the Supreme Personality of Godheads. As far as bodily construction is concerned, now this is speaking about spiritual form. As far as bodily construction is concerned, there is no difference between the part and parcel living entities and the expansions of Vishnu Murti. This is a description of the Vaikuntha planets. Sarupya Murti, this is another type of liberation in which the living entities receive forms like the personality of Godhead. In other words, at liberation, the living entity gets a spiritual body by the grace of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. People sometimes, at least thoughtful persons, sometimes wonder about this question. Once I'm liberated, then what? What does the liberated soul do? And what is existence or life like in that liberated state? There is both while embodied, what does one do, and then after this body. Because there is a certain set of things that we must take into consideration given this body. We have to put it to rest sometimes. We have to wash it sometimes. Regularly. We have to put some fuel in it sometimes. And there's so many duties that are recommended because of these indriyas, these senses that we have, how to connect them with other objects that are of this material manifestation so that consciousness is continuously fixed on Krishna. So many duties must be performed, taking into consideration that we have one of these things, a body. A physical, gross, material body that gets old and gets tired and gets diseased and gets disturbed and agitated sometimes. And there's so many things that we have to do to take care. But once that is dropped, then what? The impersonalist will conclude one thing. And the personalist concludes a completely different thing. The completely different thing that the personalist concludes is described here. And it is authoritative. Sarupya Mukti, that liberation in which one receives a body like the Lord's. arms, head, face, legs, not just a twinkling energy like a star glowing in the sky or something, some dazzling effulgence. This is described in the Upanishads, Hiranmayinapatrinya Satyasyapihitamukam. The devotee prays to the Lord, now that I'm seeing your dazzling effulgence, I'm simply praying to you, please remove these rays so that I can see your form of bliss. In the spiritual world, there is the dazzling effulgence, and one can become enamored by this dazzling effulgence and try to enter into it. But the devotee prays in a different way. Not, let me enter into your effulgence. Please remove that effulgence so that I can see your form. To see the form of God requires eyes to see. It requires spiritual eyes to see. Certainly, material eyes cannot see spiritual form. Material instruments cannot detect that which is not material, isn't it? Premanjanachurita bhakti-vadochanena santak-sadaiva-hidayesha-valokayanti. Lord Brahma has described it in this way. One cannot see God except when these eyes, even these eyes that we presently have, become smeared or anointed with the salve of love of God. And then those eyes are no longer material. Someone was asking this question just recently. Very same idea. How is it possible if our ear, just like we're quoting the verse, Hrit-karna, Rasayana, if one receives spiritual messages through this ear, and this ear is just also a bunch of flesh and blood and marrow, it's just a material instrument. And the tongue is also just muscle with some skin stretched over it. So with this material tongue and with this material ear and with these material eyes, how are we going to be able to transmit spiritual messages so that we can vibrate spiritual sound or hear spiritual sound or see the form of God? It's a good question. It's a classic question. And when this question was asked in the Srimad Bhagavatam by Maharaj Pariksit to Sukadeva Goswami, he responded by saying, this is an excellent question. I'm glad you have asked this excellent question, because this question has been asked by so many sages in the past, and he gives a whole history of reference of these so many different situations. And ultimately, the response is given that everything is coming from God. It is stated within the Vedas that ultimately even matter is a transformed state of spirit. The whole of the material creation comes from the spiritual energies of God. By His will, that spiritual energy becomes transformed. Just like an electrician can utilize electricity to sometimes make heat and sometimes make cold, because he knows the science of it, he can make this transformation at his will. Of course, at his will means according to God's law. He's certainly restricted. His will is not unlimited will. But within the laws that are set up and established by God, he can use electricity for heating or for cooling, or for so many different things. Similarly, the personality of Godhead has parashta shakti avivadaiva shriyate. He has unlimited energies. And he can utilize one energy at one time this way, and another energy another time another way, the same energy in a different way. The form of the Lord is anghani yasya sakalendriya vrittimanti. One sense of God can be utilized in the same way as any other sense. This is the form of God. As we're offering foodstuffs to the deity can receive foodstuffs by hearing, by the mantras that are offered. The deity can honor that person. We have only one way of eating. where only one sense can eat. But the Lord can eat to any sense. The limbs of the Lord are inconceivably potent. One limb can perform the activity of any other limb. One sense is interchangeable with any other sense at the Lord's will. This is God. The living entity cannot do like that. So in the liberated state, once this body is finished, the individuality of the soul is sanatana. It is eternal. And spiritual form, actually even in the course of our present devotional service, spiritual form is being developed. Just like you'd use a mundane example, just like the athlete is developing his body, or the weightlifter is making his big biceps by weightlifting, or the piano player is practicing and developing the intricate muscle work and hearing of their ear, developing specific facilities of this body by practice. So also, by practice of devotional service, our spiritual senses are being developed and awakened. The consciousness of the soul is becoming awakened. By it starting from the process of hearing, and then further, after hearing, to vibrate that same sound vibration that one has heard, and then following that vibration activity, that's, we generically call that preaching, which you can all do in the context of your work, or riding to work, or in your home, or people whom you meet, or when you go shopping. Tell people something about Krishna. That's the vibrating part. And following that hearing and vibrating part comes practical devotional service. Then other senses also become awakened and developed. The soul, the form of the soul in the conditioned state of life is undeveloped, but it becomes developed by the process of devotional service, by worshipping of the deity, by honoring of Krishna prasadam, by studying Krishna's words, because these are the activities in the spiritual world. When one leaves this body, although we're doing so many things to deal with the fact that we have a material body that is problematic in so many ways, in the spiritual world, those activities go on. When someone asks, why are you performing this chanting of Hare Krishna? The answer is, so we can go on chanting Hare Krishna. More chanting. Why are you worshipping this form of the deity? So we can go on worshipping the form of God. Why are you studying this message of Bhagavad Gita? So we can understand the personality of Godhead, and once understanding the message of personality of Godhead, does that mean that we take the book and throw it away? Or leave it on our shelf to collect dust? Not at all. One develops a taste for hearing these messages and wants to hear more and more. Krishna describes this to Arjuna in the Bhagavad Gita. The liberated souls, they're deriving great bliss and satisfaction, enlightening one another and conversing about me. This is the activities of the six Goswamis when they were residing in Vrindavan, or Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he would associate with his intimate disciples. He would simply discuss topics of Krishna very, very ecstatically, in the association of elevated and realized personalities. These are the activities of the spiritual world. So whether in one of these physical bodies or beyond the physical body, in the spiritual world, the same activities will go on, only in spiritual form. The spiritual form is full of inebrieties and problems. It is a problematic situation. It is an embarrassing situation. Also, so many things we won't describe about this body that are so embarrassing, thing after thing. Yet we have to deal with it. It is something that our previous misdeeds have earned us. So we have, as Prabhupada says, we have to make the best use of a bad bargain. We made some pretty foolish mistakes. So we have this body. But we can use it. Vairagya Vidya Nija Bhakti Yoga. Through the process of Bhakti Yoga, this very same body that is problematic for the conditioned soul can be an opportunity for knowledge and detachment, if used properly. But one should never make a mistake, this verse. Mami Vamsa Jiva Loke, Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. There's just like this phrase, Jiva Bhuta, there's another very similar term, Brahma Bhuta, within Bhagavad Gita. Brahma Bhuta Prasanatma. Na Sochati, Na Kamsati, Samak Sarveshu Bhuteshu, Man Bhaktim Labhate Param. Jiva Bhuta means in the conditioned state. Brahma Bhuta means in the liberated state. It's the same soul, the same living entity, Bhuta. One is conditioned and the other is liberated. But they're both individual. Mahatmanastamam partha dhaivim prakritim ashita bhajan chanana manaso jhatpa bhutharam avyayam. Those who are considered the great souls according to standard understanding of the scripture, they are engaged in unalloyed devotional service of the personality of Godhead. And why? Krishna describes, because they have accepted me as the personality of Godhead. However many lifetimes it takes, they have come to that conclusion. If Krishna is the personality of Godhead, therefore I must serve him. This is the natural conclusion of the relationship of the part to the whole. Any child can understand. Once that conclusion is reached, what is the function of a part of my body? I've personally made this experiment just out of curiosity in speaking to a grade school class. We've been invited from time to time to speak in college classes and high school classes and sometimes grade school classes. Just out of my own curiosity, I've done this on a number of occasions. Just ask at random in a completely unbiased, simple bunch of kids. What is the relationship of the part to the whole? What is the function of your hand in relation to the rest of your body? Or your foot or your leg in relation to the rest of the... And they can easily understand it. The part has to act in relation to the whole. If it doesn't, that's called diseased. Supposing your hand is paralyzed and it doesn't do what it's supposed to do in relation to the whole body. That's a diseased condition. Or your liver doesn't work, or your leg is broken, or it doesn't do what it's supposed to do to benefit the whole body. So we are in that kind of diseased condition when the part is not understanding its relation to the whole. Even if you understand that you are spirit, as many people accept that conclusion, they are spirit, even they can accept, I'm spirit, part of God. But somehow it doesn't compute the conclusion. The part has to act in relation to the whole, which even a child can understand. That is how strong our full sense of independence from God is. Stubbornly we refuse to serve God. Even we know. Stubbornly we refuse to serve God. Therefore, repeated hearing is required. And gradually through this hearing, that stubbornness or the hardened condition of heart becomes softened. The impure condition of heart becomes cleansed. This is the process that is traversed by those who have reached liberation. Bahajino yena katasa panta. So we should accept. Wise person will accept that path, which is guaranteed, having already been successful. To accept the personality of Godhead, not blindly, but according to very careful hearing and investigation of those messages which have convinced those already liberated souls. Hear very attentively, again and again, from Satam, self-realized persons. From these, those who are receiving their knowledge in disciplic succession. So I'll stop and see if there's any discussion. While I was speaking, there was one man over here raising his hand. But he's gone, it looks like. No? Any discussion? No. Yes? Yes. The concept of God came into existence with God. When did God come into existence? God is eternal. So the concept of God is never coming into existence. The concept of God is God, and God is eternal. God is eternal. And the living entities who are conceiving of God, they're also eternal. There is no point in time. All right, thank you all very much for coming and listening. I hope you enjoy the rest of the evening. Hare Krishna.
The spiritual master, and he should inquire submissively. So that even if one is not so intelligent, if one doesn't have this inquisitiveness, even if simply trying to please the Supreme Lord, then Krishna within the heart, he will direct such a sincere person. And so even the most fallen can attain the shelter of Krishna's lotus feet. Some other questions? Yes. Get a secret in. Well, like just the example of devotees chanting the holy name, right, in the street. So there are two persons. One person is appreciating very much, you know, the devotees, you know, and they're doing, you know, they like the devotees, and then the other person, even though he might not know, he might just think, oh, these are nice people, that, you know, they're doing something far out, something very nice. And then the other person, he's very nasty, you know, and he's saying, what are they doing, these people here? You know, he's spitting at them, throwing tomatoes. I mean, there are two kinds of persons, right? And so they're both hearing the holy name, and they're seeing the devotees. And so the person who is appreciating the devotees chanting, he might not know, but that's also mostly it's the case, they don't know, or so many times they don't know the devotees or what they are doing. So it appears to me that they can they get much more past credit than those who are also hearing the name, but they are actually the mentality is not very nice. That's my understanding. That even if a person, if he is if he is inimical, but if he is hearing the holy name of the Lord, there's also some benefit there. Exactly the workings of this of the whole name. I don't know. Yes. Devotion. well, the different level of devotional service, and it's a kind of devotional service. It's also devotional service, but it is not pure devotional service. Well, that is devotional service, but it is not pure devotional service. What is the difference? Yeah, there's a difference. The person who is initiated into the holy name and so is chanting 16 rounds and he's performing devotional service, although he might not be fully aware of all the conclusions of the Shastras, he's making much more advancement than the person who is just once hearing the holy name. So for me, they follow the instructions of the authorities also of the spiritual master, and so the initiation. It's just a matter of time, the formal initiation. Yeah, ultimately it's all.
Thank you.
Well, the, as far as I understand, there's a devotional service and then there's pure devotional service. Yes.
Because your emotional system is